Lord God, for the spirit of wisdom, the revelation that is needed in this day and this hour for each and every one of us. So, Lord, we open up our hearts, and as you stretch and bring us into the more than enough, that, Lord God, we will absolutely experience all that you have for us in this season of 2025. Lord, we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen. Here you go, buddy.
Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Why don't you just take a moment, let's all stand up, and let's thank the Lord for this amazing day that he's given to us. And how many of y'all are excited about Jesus? Come on. I know the men are a little bit wound up, probably. But let's get the ladies wound up as well. So everybody lift up your hands. Let's just thank the Lord for his goodness. And Lord, we just thank you today. We bless you. We bless your holy name. Lord, this is a new day. It's a new season. And Father, we just look to you today to give us a right now word, a word that's in season. Father, a word that we can take from. And Lord, I just pray that you would stretch out your hand to heal. Stretch out your hand to heal. Even now. Lord, we release the healing power of God over this place. Father, we ask you to stretch out your hand, your mighty hand, to heal, to bring about miracles, healings, signs, and wonders. Lord, you're the great physician. You're the Lord, our healer. You've never changed. And so, Lord, today we thank you for an awesome day. Lord, I pray for revelation, inspiration, and illumination. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you're watching over your word. You're magnifying your word. You're confirming your word with miracles, signs, and wonders to follow. In Jesus' name, and everyone in agreement said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, welcome again this morning. How many of y'all were with us last Saturday? Did you get something last Saturday? Yeah. I heard it from a couple people, how different things that we shared, how they realized, expectation is important. They realized maybe some things from the Word that they hadn't seen before. And so I say for this healing training, this healing equipping, that there's only two rules. Number one is be willing to see something that you hadn't seen before, or learn something, or unlearn something. Some of us need to unlearn some things, right? All right, and see things in a different light. And then also be willing to respond. That's the second rule. Be willing to respond. You know, I can tell the level of expectation by what you're willing to do. You can tell the level of expectation in a room based upon what people are willing to do. So if I say, stand on your head and praise the Lord. If I say, run around the room, okay, dance a little bit, all right. All right, if I say touch your nose, okay. I mean, it literally, God allows us to set the level of expectation, you know. And so, you know, sometimes I have to break things up because, you know, people, you know, in church a lot of times they're quiet. Often they're listening, they're taking in some things. But, you know, when God moves, all right, it's not quiet, typically. All right. Sometimes I ask this question, who does God heal? Well, you could say everyone, right? How many of y'all believe that it's God's will for people to be healed, right? All the time, right? All right. We see from his word, and we're going to see more of that today. It's God's will for us to be healed. But in a service, when the Spirit of God is moving, you know, I'm just posing this question, who does God reach out to heal? Okay. Well, you got to want it, got to desire it. All these answers are good, but I'll just kind of phrase it this way. Who does God heal? He heals people who have their motor running. All right. So what do? You get your motor running. Okay. All right. Who does God heal? He heals people that are percolating. All right. Tea kettle, right? Put it on the stove. What happens? Right? Come on now. You guys, y'all, don't look at me funny this morning. All right? Y'all know, okay, because when the Word of God is embedded and in planted inside of you, you can't contain it. All right? I've had healing school before where people were sitting in their chair and they just couldn't, they were just like, I'm like boiling over. That Word is becoming life to me and health to me. You know, and the entrance of God's Word does what? It brings light. It brings revelation. All right? And so we've had people in healing school just get healed in their chair as they're hearing the Word, and that light and revelation is coming to them. All right? I had one lady in a big meeting one time run up in the middle of everything and try to tackle me. All right? And she came running, and I go, oh, my goodness. Okay. And I thought she was going to make a right turn to go to the ladies' room. Nah. All right? She came running. I mean, she was running full speed. I'm like, okay, oh, dear Lord. All right? So I moved to the side, but when I moved, she moved. All right? And she reached out, and she tried to tackle me. Okay? And I stepped just a little bit to the side, and she fell out. And she was out for the rest of the evening. So I just kind of worked around her. Well, about a year and a half later, I was ministering somewhere, and this lady comes up to me. She says, hey, do you remember me? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'll have to be honest. I really don't. She says, You were in that service at that particular church, and you were ministering. And she says, I was the one that came running, and I tried to tackle you. I said, oh, yeah, I do remember that. Something you can't forget sometimes. So she says, you didn't know this, but I had an incurable disease. And I was sitting in my seat. I was hearing the Word, and that Word just became life to me. And something went off in my spirit. Something went off, and I could begin to see myself healed. I could see myself healed. And she says, I didn't want to just sit there and wait for a healing line. She says, I didn't know about this stuff. I didn't know how you receive. I'm like, come on, preacher, would you please, can we have some prayer here? She says, well, I just decided, you know what? If he's not going to do it, then I'm going to go do it myself. So she said, I jumped out of my seat. I said, well, the only way I know how to receive is to tackle the preacher. I said, well, you did a pretty good job there. So, and she said, but you didn't notice, but I went out in the Spirit. I was out in the Spirit for a while. And she says, and that was the moment that I was instantly healed of that affliction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Everybody say motor running. Come on, everybody, get your motor running. Come on, get your motor running this morning. Come on. Come on. All right, act happy, all right? Act excited, act with expectation. Come on, all right? So God's looking for people who have their... God's looking for people who have percolating. I mean, God has favorites, right? He's looking for some stuff going on, okay? All right? Because increase always happens on the inside first. Yes. You have to see yourself healed on the inside before you see yourself healed on the outside. So part of ministering to the sick is to get them to have an image, the right image. Just when they start to see themselves healed first on the inside, that's where faith is. That's where faith begins. All right? Here's another example. God looks for fizz in his soda pop. Anybody like flat soda? All right. Who likes fizz, right? Some of y'all like the seltzer water, right? The fizz, okay? See, I'm just saying these expressions because these are the people that get healed. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She what? Heard that Jesus was coming. She got up, all right? She made her way, and she pressed through the crowd. And all along, there was something percolating. She said, if I can just touch, if I can just get to where Jesus is, if I can just touch just the very hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She risked her life. If she had been found out, all right, she could have gotten in big trouble. But when she heard the word of the Lord, something went off on the inside of her, and she decided to get up, and she decided to press and get out in the street, okay? And no telling how long she walked, okay? In the Bible, the description of her is that she had suffered of many things for many years. That word suffered means that she was tormented. She had gone through trauma. She had experienced disappointments. She had experienced, in that word torment in the Greek, it means to take someone who's like normal and take them into a chamber and torture them, torment them until they cannot bear it any longer and then let them go. And then when they're just at the point where they're starting to feel better, you bring them back into that place and you torture them and torment them, okay, and then let them go. And so for 12 years, that was her life. Trauma after trauma after trauma. Feel like she's battered, tortured, okay? Spent all of her living, been to many doctors, many physicians, and yet nothing better. But despite all that, when she heard that Jesus was coming, what did she do? She said, yes, yes. I'm gonna leave the house, all right, and I'm going to make my way. And all along, that word was percolating. If I can just touch, if I can touch, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. You know, one thing about her is that she not only determined what, she determined when. Do you know that it's possible for you to determine the what and the when? I know for a long time it was taught that, well, our job is to believe God, but it's up to him when. But see, her faith, she said, in her heart, she said, if I can just touch, I will be healed. So with an act of her will, she determined what she received, and she determined when she received it. You know, Kenneth Hagin, a lot of times, would do services. He would do teaching, you know, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday. He'd say, now, Friday night is going to be the moment that you come and you release your faith. So you come all week long, you come with, you just keep hearing that word, allowing that word to come alive on the inside of you. But on Friday night is the night that you're going to be prayed for. And that's the moment that you're going to believe you received and you're going to get healed on Friday night. Okay? And so what happens? People build that expectation. And then on Friday night, they're like, yeah, this is my night. This is my night. I remember years ago, I was working with this lady with terminal cancer. And doctor said, there's no way you're going to make it. All right. You're giving up to die. Okay. And so I began to share the word of God, whether she took hold of the word. Okay. Then she heard that Kenneth Hagin was going to have a meeting. And so she drove down. Well, she had friends drive down because she was not at a point where she could drive. She came down on Wednesday night and Thursday, and she said, Friday night is my night to be healed. Friday night is my night to be healed. So she, each Friday, Wednesday night, she said, Friday night is my night to be healed. Thursday night, she says, now Friday night is my night to be healed. Friday night, I'm going to believe I receive. And then Friday night, when hands are laid upon me, I'm going to receive the power of God in me, and my body's going to change, and I will be healed, and the cancer will leave my body. I will be completely healed in Jesus' name. Well, I was the head usher at this large church, and I knew her really well and had her sit at the front row. Friday night came. Kenneth Hagin says, well, Friday night, this is the night. We're going to have a healing line. Friday night's your night to receive. She's sitting there. She's bubbling over. She's talking to herself. She says, yep, tonight's my night. Tonight's my night. Because I'm just a few seats away. And she's like, tonight's my night. And so she was very weak. She was probably weighed less than 100 pounds. She'd been really fighting, and the doctors had given her no more hope. And so Kenneth Hagin preaches this message, and he says, okay, now we're going to have an altar call, all right? And so people began to line up, okay? And so I'm the usher, and we got all these ushers coming up, and I hear her say, oh, no. Oh, no. No, you don't, devil. No, you don't. No, you don't, devil. Well, she began to bleed. All right? And so she was bleeding out, okay? And she says, no, devil. Well, I turn. I said, what's going on? She said, I'm hemorrhaging really bad. And I said, okay. I called a few ushers. I said, okay, let's pick her up, okay? So they hoisted her up. They picked her up. And she's like, in the name of Jesus, I believe I receive. In Jesus' name. She's, no, Mr. Devil. No, you can't steal this from me. You can't take this from me. No. Well, she began to scream and shout, okay? Everybody could see what was happening. Well, the ushers had no choice. So they lifted her up. And so they began to take her out, okay? And as she got down to the center aisle, all right, she told the ushers, stop, stop, stop. She turned around and she says, devil, you cannot deny me of my healing. And I bind you in Jesus' name. And I bind the work of the enemy in my body right here in Jesus' name. And she said, and before God and before all this congregation, I declare with my mouth right now, I receive my healing. The healing power of God is manifesting in my body right now. And by his stripes, I am healed. And they took her away to the hospital. The ambulance came. 2 days later, I saw her, and she said, the bleeding stopped. And she said, I'm running the test now. And she said, And then a few days after that, she says, there's no cancer in my body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was over 20 years ago. The lady's very much still alive. Okay. But see, God lets us set the level of expectation. That's why I know in a room, if the Lord says, hey, run around the room, you know, jump up and down, start praising the Lord, all right, or joy, ha, 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 ha. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, with great joy we draw from the wells of salvation. You want to learn how to draw from the wells of salvation? Ha, 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 ha. Laughter what? Doeth good like a medicine, all right? And so, we're laying a foundation on healing, but also just how to minister healing, okay? Let's just look at a couple of scriptures. Go with me, if you would, to Malachi chapter 3. Let's go there. Malachi chapter 3. Can anything good come out of Malachi? I'm just teasing. So just to review a couple points that we made last week, and that is Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. You know, other translations say, don't model yourself after the world. And so we're up against a culture of sickness, a culture of pharmaceuticals and medical. And so people have put more trust in all of that than they have in the Lord, our healer. And so we have to constantly come against that, up against that culture, all right? I know my brother-in-law a couple years ago, now he's like 6'3", skinny. All right? And so one night he was having some numbness in it, under his arm. So he says, well, I probably should go check it out. So he went to the emergency room. Emergency room, they ran their tests, and they said, well, we don't find anything, but we're sure you must be having a heart attack. And so they said, you need to go see a cardiologist. So we went to the cardiologist. Cardiologist ran his test. He came back. He said, yeah, I don't find anything. Tests don't reveal anything, but I'm sure you must have had a heart attack. And so I'm going to put you on 9 different drugs. He's like, Doc, what do you mean 9 different drugs? One of them's blood pressure. He goes, I've never had high blood pressure. Why would you put me on high blood pressure medication when I don't even have high blood pressure? So he went to a university hospital, wanted to talk to that cardiologist. So that cardiologist ran his tests and came back and said, well, yeah, all the tests are negative, doesn't show anything, but we're, you know, we're nearly 100% sure that you must have had a heart attack. So I have good news for you. You don't need to have 9 medications, just 7 medications. So my brother says, you doctors, all right, like, what's the matter? All right, I mean, 7 medications, 9 medications, nothing definitive, okay? And yet you're gonna do all this? And he said, why? And that doctor says, it's simply standard protocol. Standard protocol. So that's the kind of things that we face, right? Because their answer is, it's standard protocol. Okay? All right? But that's the culture. And I tell you what, it's time for the church to change the culture. The church should be the healing church. Hello. We're not called to pray for the sick. We're called to heal the sick. Boy, we need to bump it up. We need to come up on a much higher level. Okay, we're not called just to pray. I mean, I go into churches, all they have their long laundry list of people to pray. They're not even praying in faith. They're praying if it be the will. They're. I mean, it's sad because people are sick, people are dying, people are, you know, they're in dire situations. And yes, there's prayer that's going forth, but it's not the right kind of prayer. It's not believing prayer. It's not faith prayer. All right, and yet. What we're called to do is Jesus said, hey, I send you out and you heal the sick. Yes. I give you all authority and all power over all the work of the devil. Yes. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And the church has acted helpless. And yet we've been given everything. Everything that we need in life. All things. So we're authorized. We're deputized. All right. We've got the power. We've got the authority. All right. All right. And yet we're walking around as if, you know, God, would you really heal this person, you know, in the hospital? There's a failure consciousness. And yet we should have a victory consciousness, because Jesus' victory is our victory. Thanks be unto God who, what, always causes us to triumph. Okay? And so we're now under a dominion mandate. We're to rule and reign through Jesus Christ. We're to put the devil on the run. We're to tell sickness, no, sickness, you cannot stay in this dwelling. Sickness, you must go. You must leave in Jesus' name. We're under dominion consciousness. Some of you have heard of John G. Lake. Of course, John G. Lake had an amazing healing ministry. But I don't know if you've ever heard the story of the man who mentored him. The man who mentored him made it all the difference. And so he tells the story about this guy who mentored him. And he said the man would take him places. He'd take him to pray for people. And the man carried a different presence. The man carried a dominion consciousness, a victory consciousness. Wherever this man went, it was like victory, 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 victory. And that's what John G. Lake said. That's what he was like, wow, there's something different about this man. And he said he was on his way one time, and they were going to see this guy who was in the woes of death. And so he said to the guy, he says, so we're going to see this guy. He said, you know, what is his condition? You know, well, you know, in the natural, it doesn't look so great. But God will show up and the man will be healed. And he was like, wow, he's really sure of that. And so they're walking along, and he goes, this guy carried such a victory consciousness. And see, the church, we need to carry a victory consciousness, a victory consciousness. I mean, the enemy is under our feet. Jesus has won the war, won the battle. Come on now. I mean, sickness and disease, Jesus conquered death, hell, and Satan. I mean, and by the stripes of Jesus, we were and we are healed, and sickness is under our feet. Hallelujah. Everybody just take your finger out like this and say, sickness is under my feet. It has no right to my body. My body was bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And my body belongs to him. Hallelujah. Amen. And see, that's why we have to have an aggression against sickness. We can't play footsie with it. We can't be passive about it. You know, the Bible says Jesus, for this purpose, he came to destroy, to annihilate the work of the devil. What is sickness? It's a work of the devil. What are we called to do? Destroy the works of the devil, to do the works of Jesus, okay? All right? And so we have to have an attitude. Andrew Womack said, always live with an agitation. Always live with an agitation against sickness. Because it's a work of the devil. All right? Sickness is a curse. Sickness is a thief. How many young ladies that diagnosed with cancer and they've got 3 kids and they're fighting for their life? It's a thief. It's a robber. Okay? All right? And so we have to develop a no tolerance for sickness. You know, In Richmond, Virginia, we started healing rooms, and over a couple of years, we had 6 locations. We had trained 400 people. And we had a sign coming in, no cancer zone. Because the moment that you walk through this door, the anointing of God is going to hit you, and that cancer is going to leave your body. We put it out there. We put it out there. And we told the people, listen, it's harder for you to stay sick than it is for you to be healed, because this is a healing place. And I'm telling you, this church is going to be a healing place. God's raising up this local body. And I'm as I said last week, I'm so honored to help, you know, and to know that this is part of Pastor Bill's, you know, vision, you know, in the greatest tribute that we can give to him is to take hold of this vision and run with it. And run with it. Okay. All right. Too many people who are sick. Too many people who are dying. You know, let it be a catalyst in your life. You know what? I am determined for this next season of my life. I'm determined to see miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm determined to figure this thing out, okay? And to understand that I have dominion. I have total dominion over all the work of the enemy. In developing a victory consciousness, a dominion consciousness. See, when we know in our soul that we have total dominion, then sickness will never be an issue again. Because we'll run sickness right out of town. Total dominion. You know, I like Jesus' attitude. There was a time where, you remember the story where the man brought his son. And he brought his son to the disciples. He says, my son, he has a spirit. He has convulsions. You know, he foams at the mouth. Okay. He nearly hurts himself. You know, just all this stuff. And he says, listen, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. And Jesus' response was, bring him here. Bring him here. And I want the church's response to say, you know what? Bring them here. The mentally, the demonic, okay, the down and out, all right, the cancer, the AIDS, okay, bring them here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, when you know in your soul you have total dominion, you run the devil out of town. Just say, hey, there's a new sheriff in town. I'm authorized, I'm deputized. Yeah, no cancer zone. No sickness zone. Okay. Yeah, this is a healing place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to change the culture. People are going to be running to the church instead of running to the medical. Nothing wrong with the medical. Nothing wrong with doctors. Okay. You know, we just say there's a helps ministry to Jesus' ministry. You know, even the medical symbol, the caduceus symbol is in the Old Testament, right? Where Moses lifted up that serpent of brass, okay? All right? Saying, if whoever looks, whoever gazes at this, speaking of Jesus to come, right? All right? And hey, we won't go there, but hey, we're not against doctors and things like that. They're good natural assets, but there's only one healer. Amen? Amen. There's only one healer. His name is Jesus. So if you found your place there in Malachi chapter 3, in Malachi chapter 3, if you look at this chapter, it's kind of a dialogue between God and Israel. You know, a lot of times we use this verse for tithing and offerings, and, you know, it applies to that. But it's a dialogue that Israel had backslidden. They had gone away from God. And so they had said, hey, it's vain to serve the Lord. You know, why should we serve the Lord? You know, why should we return to the Lord of hosts? And then, of course, we read in verse number 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse. Okay, we read those verses for offerings often. And so, but as you skip down further, This is what God says in verse number 13. He says, your words have been stout against me because you say, it is vain to serve God. In what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and we have walked before the Lord? You know, we hear foolish people say things like that on the street, right? Well, you know, I don't serve God because, well, you know, what good is it? All right. Seems like bad things happen to good people. And why, you know, and so people speak foolishly. And, you know, God took it to heart. God says, listen, your words are stout. Your words are pretty serious. Okay. And it's against me. It's against who I am. It's against my nature. Okay. But let's skip down in verse number 18. This is what I want you to look at. It says, then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. What God said is like, listen, you're going to come back and you're going to see the light. And the translations say this, because you're going to know there is a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. There's a distinction. So when God looks at us, he sees a distinction, all right, between his people and those in the world. We should see that same distinction. We're in covenant with God. We have a covenant of healing, okay? The world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have the name of Jesus. The world doesn't have all authority, all power over all the work of the devil. The world is not seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. See, the world is helpless. That's why he says to them, listen, you're going to see the light, you're going to come back, okay, and you'll see the distinction. The distinction between those who serve God, those who don't. Between the righteous and the wicked. I wish that God's people, when it comes to healing, when it comes to sickness, would realize, wait a minute, there's a distinction. There's a distinction between me at my age and someone in the world at my age. So why am I trying to make a comparison? God has given me a promise that I can live long life. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. The world doesn't have that promise. We have the promise. All the promises of God in him are what? Yes, and in him. Amen. Okay. And so I love godly examples today that we have before us. We have Marilyn Hickey. Marilyn Hickey is like 94, 95 years of age. Still going strong. Okay. Occasionally goes to Pakistan, does crusades. She says, I love Muslims and Muslims love me. All right. And she has a national television program that goes into many different nations of the world. A great example of someone who says, you know what? I'm still doing it. I'm still living. I'm living strong. All right. And we got, you know, Sid Roth. I've been with Sid Roth many times. Sid Roth, the first thing that he'll ask you when he meets you, he says, so tell me, what have you seen supernatural lately? Because what drives him is supernatural. Supernatural stories, supernatural testimonies. And so I said, okay, all right, Sid, I'm ready. I got a supernatural story for you. He goes, let's hear it. And he's what, 85, 86? So as soon as you start talking, he's like, he's like a bunny rabbit, okay? And he starts getting happy and joyful. He rubs his hands together. He says, oh, that's good. Tell me more. And so, do you have another one? Another supernatural story? Yeah. I said, okay. But here he is, alive at 85. Come on. All right? I have a good friend of mine. His name is Chuck Mame. All right, he lives, you can Google him. He's at 72 years of age. He's now like 78, 79. 72 years of age, he was the oldest contestant on America's Ninja Warrior. And he's competing with the 20 and early 30-year-olds. doing all the hoops and swings and ropes and jumps and, I mean, all of that, okay? He has an obstacle course around his house. I'm sure his neighbors just love him for it. So I tell Chuck, I said, so tell me, at 75, now he's like 78, what is your daily routine? Well, I get up in the morning, and he says, I run to the gym. I said, you mean you run? Yeah, I run to the gym. I open the gym at 5:30. Okay, all right. And he goes, and then I do my preliminaries. What do you mean by that? Well, I do 1,500 sit-ups and then 1,500 push-ups. And then I have other preliminaries. I'm just warming up. I'm like, you already lost me, okay? So, and then he's hitting the weight machines, okay? And then he comes back home at 8 a.m. And he goes, I said, so what do you do at 8 a.m.? He goes, I fix a shake. Well, I'm thinking Oreo. He's thinking kale, you know, grass, okay? And a good, you know. So he takes a shake, okay? So then he gets on his bike and goes for 2 hours. All right? Then he goes plays tennis for an hour and a half. And then by mid-afternoon, he's back at the gym. I'm like, wow, okay, amazing, okay. Well, not too long ago, he put out a post on Facebook. He says, I've set a new personal best record. And I'm like, okay, I got to hear this. 76 years of age at the time. Yeah, I set a new personal best record. I did 300 pull-ups in less than 1 hour. I said, you know what? I'd be fortunate to be able to do 5 right now. Okay. But see, he sets goals. All right. He's after just, hey, I'm gonna live the life that I want to live. Okay. And I'm going to believe God to live long and to be strong. Yes. See, these are kinds of examples that we can follow. That's why Paul says, don't compare yourself to the world. You're not like the world. You've been bought with a price. Yes. You're in covenant with God. And see, that's where people oftentimes miss it. It's because one of the number one things is we have to keep hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word. And we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Yeah, what does Kenneth Copeland say? Hey, I'm believing it'll be lived to 120 now. You know, I mean, like, in other words, these are good examples because in their 70s and 80s or whatever their age are, they're not making plans, okay, for failure. They're not getting on a waiting list for, you know, assisted living or whatever else. They're thinking God's thoughts, okay? They're thinking the way God intended us to think. You know, there's a famous doctor who wrote a book called something like Ageless Body, Timeless Minds, okay? What he did is he's a secular doctor, but he went out to some place out in the other part of the world where these tribes, these people, and these people were living 120, 125, still working the fields. And he's like, what's the secret? What are they doing differently? Is their diet? Is it their this or that? All right, and he reached a conclusion. He said, it's all in their minds. You know, the Bible says, as a man, the scripture tells us, as your years are, so shall your strength be. Deuteronomy. And so he watched them. He observed. So in their culture, they think as you get older, you get stronger. You get smarter. And he watched them have races. Okay, they had 25-year-olds racing 85-year-olds, and the 85-year-olds were winning the race. He's like, how is this possible? Okay, how is this possible? All right. So he said it was all in their minds. And of course, when we talk about the word, we're talking about renewing our mind. That's how we're transformed, renewing our mind. And so, you know, when you hear the truth, your spirit comes alive. Your spirit says yes. Your spirit bears witness with the truth. But it's your mind that takes time to play catch up. Moses lived to what, 120 or however long? And the Bible says his moisture, his skin was still nice looking, right? His eyes could still see. Right? See, that's what a person looks like who is in covenant with God. Because whatever you behold in this word is what you'll become. Hallelujah. How many of y'all getting something? Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.